The Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying, 'You will be made free'?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The son has a place there forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
After I heard about the shooting yesterday at the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pennsylvania, I considered scrapping the entire sermon that I had prepared for today to address that. And as I've prayed over it and I've considered it, I think there is still something in this prepared sermon that may speak to that and may speak to all of the craziness and all of the chaos that seems to be gripping our nation right now. Kim Davis was serving as a county clerk in Kentucky in 2015 when the Supreme Court officially recognized same-sex marriage. She became famous overnight because she was jailed for refusing to issue any marriage licenses in Rowan County until her name was removed from the licenses. Davis felt that she would be violating the word of God if her authority was used to bless same-sex unions. And within the past year, she published a book about her experiences called Under God's Authority, in which she portrays herself as a prophetic hero raised up by God to defend traditional marriage. Davis's story is just one story among so many that reveals an even deeper struggle within American Christianity. We are struggling to understand the role of God's laws in our lives. God's laws include the law given to Israel from Sinai and the natural law written on the hearts of non-Jews. These two laws remain hidden in the shadows during Jesus' discussion with the Jews who believed in him. Jesus promises them that they will be free if they continue in his word. This confuses these particular Jews who never thought that their freedom was at risk. Jesus replies, "Everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin." Suddenly, God's laws are thrust from the shadows into the light of Christ. There they stand, accusing humanity of serving a master other than God. Why else would God demand our worship unless we were worshiping something else? Why else would God forbid stealing unless we had already demonstrated the ability to manipulate others for personal gain? Why would God forbid murder unless we had already demonstrated an ability to execute judgment through our own eyes rather than through God's eyes? We need laws because we wander away from the good works which God has prepared for us to be our way of life. We wander away because we are following a master other than God. For whoever commits sin is already a slave to sin and has no place in God's house. Davis has become a champion of this hardline approach to relationships that she believes violate natural law. In an interview with the Christian Broadcasting Network, she stated her view that marriage between a man and a woman is just as much a part of the created order as gravity is. Yet I can't help but wonder if Davis is overlooking something We are becoming increasingly aware that human gender and sexuality exist along a spectrum. This suggests that variations in gender and sexuality are actually part of the created order, and that same-sex relationships are actually supported by natural law. Now, some, like Davis, may say that relationships governed by natural law must allow for the creation of new life. This was certainly the view of Abraham's descendants. For Jewish children were born in fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham that one day his descendants would outnumber the stars. But something new happened in Christ. God's promise to Abraham is no longer fulfilled through the will of the flesh. Fulfillment of that promise and new life come through faith in Christ, not through procreation. And even if someone were to say that continuing in Jesus' word meant keeping his commandments, we will find that the only commandment that Jesus gives his followers in the Gospel of John is the commandment to love one another, to care for one another, to look after one another, just as Jesus has done for us, which means nothing less than laying down our lives on the cross for our brothers and our sisters around the world. Now, Davis is certainly willing to be jailed on account of God's law. But is she willing to be jailed on account of the gospel? She's certainly willing to receive and take the many godless and detestable threats for her witness to God's judgment. But is she willing to face death for the righteousness that we have by grace alone, through faith alone in Christ alone? For all who have ever sinned, even once, who have ever departed from divine standards of uprightness, betray their slavery to sin. And only the Son, who is without sin and has a place in God's house forever, has the power to set us free. Jesus promises the Jews that believe in him that they will truly be free if the Son sets them free. If salvation hinged on the works of our own flesh, we would be no better off under Jesus' law than we were under the law of Moses or under natural law. We would only trade out one tyrant for another, or one accuser for a second. Therefore, the freedom that we have through Jesus must not be based on any law, but on faith. For faith is true freedom. For this reason, Jesus said, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." For you and I cannot continue in Jesus' word apart from faith. We have this word through faith, and the word that we have is truth. And the truth is Christ, who sets us free. He died for the sins of the world on the cross, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life, life without limit, life without fear. And now he sits on the throne once occupied by sin, for he has taken sin's place in our lives as our master. And God's laws have nothing more to accuse us of. For where the law is concerned, there is only Christ. The only law remaining is this, that we love one another as Christ has loved us. That is, we are to lay our lives down for one another as Christ laid his life down for us. St. Augustine once gave a sermon about dying for one another. He said something like this that really stuck with me. If you are not ready to die for another, then first meet your brother's or sister's need. For whoever has the goods of the world but refuses to meet the need of a brother or sister certainly cannot die for that brother or sister. In the same manner, we might imagine that to die for another is to make sure that our neighbor's relationships have the same protection under the law that our relationships have. To die for another is to help someone live faithfully with the sexuality or the gender that they inherited. To die for another is not to send death threats and berate someone for their law-oriented faith, but to encourage them with patience and with understanding. For so many in our country are ready to take heroic stands for their version of the truth or their version of God's judgment. But very few are ready to lay down their lives for those who differ from them on any issue. As we look at the state of the world on this 501st anniversary of the Reformation, we must ask ourselves if we are truly living as people who are free to live and free to love in Christ. We must ask ourselves if Christ serves God's law, or if God's law serves Christ. For if Christ serves the law, then we have no need of him. But if the law serves Christ, then we find relief in him from our accusers, from all the forces that rant and rage over our lives and that hold us in their power. And we are free to lay down our lives for our family, for our friends, for our neighbors, and even for our enemies. If we are not strong enough in faith to die for another, then let us at least care for another. And if we are not strong enough in faith to care for them, let us at least want to care for them. For love covers a multitude of sins. So let us love one another and love this world as Christ did, who died to save us. Gender and sexuality are complex issues. There's a lot that we do not know how these identities are formed. But we do not need to be afraid to explore it and to ask the difficult questions or live into the complicated realities. For whatever we face, whether issues of gender or sexuality, immigration or gun control or any other controversy, we enter into exploration held securely by God's promise that we are saved, not by keeping laws, not through consensus, not even by our ability to die for one another, but we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Grounded in Christ, we are free to courageously tackle the issues of our time. So have faith. Know truth and be free.